Good morning and welcome to a special Labor Day edition of More Talk Radio. I'm Kevin Card, your friendly neighborhood letter carrier who did not sleep in this morning, but came down here to fill in for Cecil and Celeste, who are enjoying a well-earned day off, as I hope the rest of you are, too. It's Labor Day in America, that one day set aside for the American working class. Is it magic? Did it happen magically? No, actually, here in Oregon, we were the first state in the union to actually declare a holiday for the working class. Go figure. Anyways, we're on the program today. We want to talk to you about some real important stuff going on, and I have a guest, special guest, live from Southern Oregon, Wes Brain, who's been involved in a really interesting project down there to commemorate the 100th anniversary of a famous event that happened. But we'll let Wes tell you about that. Wes, welcome to More Talk Radio.
Good morning, Kevin. Great to be here. Yeah, I'm on the other end of I-5 in Oregon, down here in Ashland, and by gosh, happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day to you too, Wes. So let's talk about what you've been up to down there. You are active in the local chapter of Jobs with Justice down there.
That is right. You know, we have five coalitions in Oregon, and we're actually the newest. We're just 4 years old here, Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice. We're down here in Southern Oregon, four counties, Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, and Douglas. We're calling ourselves, we're rural Oregon is what we are. But yes, we have been very active and got a strong, good coalition here and doing some important work for working people. Yeah.
So let's talk a bit about this thing that you've been putting a whole lot of effort into, Wes, the campaign for a wobbly free speech monument.
Well, thanks. Thank you. What an opportunity. A good place to start is to tell you that Professor Jay Mullen, now retired from Southern Oregon University, history professor there for decades, Jay back in the 90s, did some research, and he calls his paper Wobbly Walk Through the Siskiyous. And Jay put together in his research what happened 100 years ago. Pretty interesting story, Kevin. Can I tell you?
Yeah, so let's hear about this because, folks, this is talk radio, so we're going to give you an opportunity to call in a little bit later at 231-8187, 503, of course. Because, you know, the theme of this show is about the free speech movement and how we need to get back on our soapboxes.
Amen, brother. I'll tell you, Kevin, what happened 100 years ago right here in the Pacific Northwest, and it started up in your area, up in Portland, and the IWW was organizing, first founded in 1905, and so just a few years later, what was going on, and first in 1910 in Spokane, 1911 in Fresno, that's our story, and then the next year down in San Diego, 1912, we have what's known as the Free Speech Fights. Now, what in the heck were the free speech fights? The Wobblies were using our First Amendment, our free speech, to push directly, with direct action, their work for labor. There, in this case, and I'll tell you what happened in 1911, down in Fresno, California, IWW was organized. I think it was Local 66, I believe is the number down there, and they were organized, but they were also working with the farm workers, and there was big resistance. There was a strike going on, and here's where the free speech, direct action came in. Because it had been successful doing this free speech in 1910 in Spokane, they knew it'd work again. And the Wobblies formed in Portland area, jumped on the boxcars, and rode the train south. Over 100 men took off. Kevin headed to Fresno, California. And again, what they would do was this. This was the plan. You stand up on the street corner on a soapbox, and you know, the cops that come along and arrest you, throw you in jail, and just as soon as you do, another wobbly jumps up on the soapbox, and he gets arrested, another jumps up. Pretty soon they fill up the jail. What are they going to do now? That is the whole idea with the free speech fights we're all about right then. So, if you're following me, Kevin, we got over 100 IWW folks. They've jumped on the train. They're headed south. The year's 1911. Are you with me?
Gotcha.
Okay, so when they got to Ashland, Ashland is the northernmost point of the Shasta Division of the railroad. Got to think back 100 years ago. The railroad was running this country. That was the main thing that was happening here. Lots of power. So when they got down to Ashland, this northernmost division of the Shasta Division of the railroad of the Southern Pacific, the railroad cops threw them off the train. They threw them off the train.
Who'd have thunk?
Huh?
I said, who'd have thunk? Threw him off the train.
I'm telling you, they just threw him off the train. And now, normally, the WOBs, they would ride the boxcars. There were no problems at all. But they were worried. They heard what was... Jay's research shows this. The newspapers. You should have seen... Kevin, the newspapers, can you believe, were worse 100 years ago than they are today?
Well, I can, because a lot of the newspapers were probably owned by the railroad back then.
I'm telling you, the reports, Portland Oregonian, you know, here come these this band of all armed men. They're a bunch of drunkards. Get your women and children off the streets. They're coming south, you know. I mean, it was amazing what the papers said. President or Professor Jay Mullen, he researched this and pulled all together the newspaper articles. So that's how we know what happened. They did kick him off the train. Guess what the Wobblies decided to do? They said, we're going anyway. It was February. It was 1911, and there was snow, deep snow in the Siskiyou Mountains. Over 100 men took off marching up and over the Siskiyou Mountains to go stand in solidarity with their brothers of the IWW down in Fresno, California. Kevin, they walked up to 125, 130 miles.
Wow, they made it all the way, huh?
They did not make it all the way, but there's quite an adventure that they had along the way. Actually, the story is that before they got to Fresno, they heard that all these Wobblies were coming in. They let everybody out of jail, so they were effective just heading there. But let me tell you, it was not like the newspapers said. The newspapers talked about all these armed men and how they were going to, you know, ruin your community as they came through it, heading to Fresno. The early 1900s were a populist era. People supported labor, and in fact, opened up their homes, fed these Wobblies, and supported them on their mission to go down to Fresno, California, and stand up with their brothers in solidarity. That's the story, Kevin.
And you're listening to, that's Wes Brain. You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Card, filling in for Cecil and Celeste. And Wes, you're talking about something that happened 100 years ago. What's happening right now? How have you commemorated this event?
We've been having some fun. We got some folks associated with Jobs with Justice who have been sheep-dipped in history. You know, suspenders 100 years ago, Kevin, they didn't have clips on them. This is back before then. They had buttons, and we found that out because we've all dressed in the Wobbly outfits now. We have put together a skit, is one of the things we've done around this campaign. So we have four people in a skit. We got a railroad conductor, kicks them off the train. We got a couple of Wobblies, and we got a townswoman from Ashland who brings apples and crackers to the Wobblies. It's the skit that we put together, and it's one of a number of things that we've been doing to commemorate this 100th anniversary of the Wobbly walk through the Siskiyous. We want to create a memorial here in this area in the Siskiyou Mountains, so that people will remember what happened 100 years ago. Now, many people know about it today, so we want it. We want this marked. Yeah.
So, where have you been able to perform this skit? Wes?
Well, the skit was first performed here in Ashland. We've got, I think they have this around the country, too. Might call it different things. They call it Tombstone Tales. And back in July, in the old Ashland Cemetery here, right next to Safeway for people who know Ashland, they've... Old Cemetery, they do Tombstone Tales. And what we did this year was eight different graveside skits. Folks who know Ashland, this is the Shakespeare theater area here. So a guy who started that's name is Agnes Baumer. And they did a skit, a graveside skit of Agnes talking about somewhere down the road we'll have a Shakespeare theater in Ashland. Well, the skit that we did... And there's a railroad conductor buried in the Ashland Cemetery. The skit that we did was about 5.5 minutes long, and we told this story that I just told you, the Wobblies traveling from Portland on their way to Fresno, getting kicked off the train here in Ashland, and 100 years ago. So we put together this little skit, and we did it in what they call Tombstone Tales. We had four different public performances. It went over pretty well, Kevin.
And we actually have that skit here in the studio, and I think a little bit later we may listen to that. So how do you, Wes, being active in Jobs with Justice, which is just about my favorite labor organization these days, because I don't think anybody out there is speaking up for all workers like JWJ does. How do you relate to what happened back then to what's going on right now in the labor movement?
Man, like you can't believe. One, that we've done a lot of things, and I'll tell you about them, but for this campaign. One of them is Professor Jay Mullen. He gives his lecture. He gives a speech about his research, and he tells what's going on. And we started this, well, back in February, back when 100 years after this event had happened. Here's what I want to tell you. When Jay was telling people what happened 100 years ago, people are raising their hands, right? Question and answer. Like, you know what they want to talk about? Wisconsin, this year, in what's happened on the attacks on public workers in the state of Wisconsin. So put this together, Kevin. People, we're talking about 100 years ago, and you know what people want to talk about? What's happening today. And I'll tell you why, Kevin. There is so much related to the fight and attacks on working people 100 years ago that when we talk about our skit, throwing the Wobblies off the train and all that, people relate to it like you can't believe, because workers are under attack today like you can't believe.
And if you'd like to get up on your soapbox and join this conversation with Wes Brain, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. So was it warmly received down there in Ashland, the stuff you've been doing? As I understand, you guys actually went down and have marched in a couple of parades also.
This campaign has original art, we have original music, we now have theater with the skit, and we've been having some fun. We were in two parades. Besides those four Tombstone Tales, the skits in the cemetery, we were actually in two parades. First in June, they have a national day called Railroad Days, and I believe that's when they put the golden spike in, and the Transcontinental Railroad was finished, and they celebrate that around the country. Dunsmuir, California is a railroad town, the next big hub. 100 years ago, it sure was, for the Southern Pacific. So we went down to, we were invited to, went down to Railroad Days in Dunsmuir, and we marched in the parade for Railroad Days. We were about 20 of us Wobblies, all dressed in black outfits with red suspenders, red bandanas, and some signs telling people that we were marching for the Wobbly Free Speech Campaign. We had Jim Kelly come up from California down in the Bay Area. We had Ben come from Reno. We had three states represented when we marched in Railroad Days down in Dunsmuir. Kevin, after that, the other parade was the big 4th of July parade here in Ashland, Oregon. My God, town of 20,000 people has 20,000 people watch the parade, and that was a big hit here, too. So we've been doing parades and skits and song and dance and you name it.
And remember, you're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO. This is Kevin Card filling in for Cecil and Celeste, and I'm on the phone with Wes Brain. And we're talking about the wobbly free speech movement. And you can participate in free speech right here on KBOO by calling 503-231-8187. This is your soapbox. Early on a Labor Day morning, maybe you're sleeping in, lucky people that you are. But Wes, so what's your goal for this monument? What are you trying to erect here? I mean, well, how much money are you trying to raise? What are you trying to do here?
Well, thank you. This, when I tell you we've got original song, music, and skit, we're doing this like the Wobblies did. In fact, we are dues-paying Wobblies, many of us are. This is what the Wobblies did 100 years ago. I'm reminded that our buddy Ann Feeney told me one day, she said, you know, everybody's worried about the concentration of people in the unions. We're losing union number of people in it, saturation. What's that term they talk about? Union density, that's what it is, Kevin. We're always talking about the lack of union density. Our unions are declining in this country. But you know what Ann Feeney says? She says, you know, that's a problem, but the real problem in this country, we don't have a working class culture. What do you mean, Ann? No, we don't have a working class culture, she says. And that is what is so badly needed, and that is what we're building. When you have a campaign that has labor music, labor song, and labor theater, you're building a culture around it. So when we do this campaign, we're doing the campaign, when we build this monument, we will have dosed a whole bunch of people in the whole process, in the organizing of the campaign. People who've heard a song, people who've watched a skit. That's the idea of it. I think we're building a working class culture. That is part of what we're doing. As far as the monument itself, Kevin, you know, it might be a brick and mortar kind of a looking monument. We hope it'll have some great artist involvement in it and will grab people's attention to tell the story. Maybe some stimuli money. Teach somebody how to be a brick mason. Wouldn't that be great? Somebody unemployed to help build this thing. We're well on our way. We've got a couple of $1,000 raised. And for anybody who wants to learn more, well, keep listening to this show, but get a hold of Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice, SOJWJ.org. That's our website. And you can help us build this monument.
So, Wes, the path that they took over the Siskiyous, I mean, the Siskiyous in wintertime is a very harsh place to be. Was it a – did they blaze their own trail, or is this, you know, how did they walk over the mountains?
There was actually a road then, and back in those days, there might have been more cars per capita here in Medford, Oregon. I think there was, and anywhere in the country. Can you believe that? And there was a road up and over the Siskiyous, and that's the route that they took. Thing was, nobody was traveling that road. It was the middle of February. There weren't any snow plows plowing it either. There was a lot of snow, and they marched up and over the mountains and on down towards Fresno. So that's what they did.
Interesting. Well, let's listen to that skit if we can. Let's give a listen to that skit. You are listening to More Talk Radio. I'm your host, Kevin Card, on the phone with Wes Brain down in Southern Oregon, and we're going to enjoy about 8 minutes of a skit that these folks have put on down there to commemorate this walk.
All right.
Fresno and free speech on our minds. Found us some railroad cars to hop in. Started rolling south down the Southern Pacific line. They put us off the train in Ashland. We stood in needy snow until the train was gone. I must admit some of us were shaking till we heard a voice say, "Brothers, walk on."
It was 1911, and there was a labor dispute in Fresno, California. It was a free speech fight because as the laborers got up on the street corners and made their statements of their beliefs, they would be arrested.
Walk on, wobbly, walk on.
Now, the working class and the employing class have nothing in common. There can be no peace as long as hunger and want are found among the millions of working people, and the few who make up the employing class enjoy all the good things in life.
Wobbly 27, you are always preaching from that soapbox. Now, I can understand it when people are around, but I have seen you up there all alone, just talking to the oak trees. You know, I'm becoming to be a little bit worried about you now, John.
Wobbly 78, don't call me John. I'm Wobbly 27. Remember the pact? We don't use our names.
Oh, sorry, Wobbly 27, sorry. You are right. We must protect our mission.
And I'm not just speaking to the trees here. I'm preparing for Fresno, the free speech fight. The industrial workers of the world will stand with our fellow workers in Fresno because an injury to one is an injury to all.
Yes, in this cold, cold winter of 1911, over 100 of us have ridden the train in the boxcars all the way from Portland here to Ashland.
And we are determined to join our fellow workers, the IWW Local 66 in Fresno.
Yes, their strike for workers' rights at the farms is our fight, too. Just last year in Spokane, we IWWers won the free speech fight, and by jingo, we'll win in Fresno, too.
In Fresno, every time a Wobbly is arrested for speaking on that street corner, another Wobble jump right up on that soapbox and take his place.
Direct action gets the goods. Each of us is weak as individuals, but together, in solidarity, we are strong. Well, Wobbly 27, I think it's time we head on back down to the train yard. I just heard that train whistle, and I think we need to check on the rest of our brothers in the boxcars.
When we leave Ashland, it's going to be a tough climb up and over the Siskiyou Mountains.
Yes, a tough grade for any train, I've heard. We'll go right through the mountain, too. Right through Tunnel 13.
Who goes there? Identify yourselves. Who are you?
This is Wobbly 27.
This is Wobbly 78.
So you're with those other men in the boxcars?
We are.
Well, why do you call yourselves by number?
Well, we use the numbers to protect each other's identities.
Together, our mission is stronger. We're stronger when we act as one.
So what's a Wobbly?
Well, Wobbly is just a nickname for a member of the industrial workers of the world. We are one big union.
Well, us railroad folk, we don't mind you riding the train, but officially, the Southern Pacific says no.
Well, we don't want any trouble, and there's not a weapon among us. We're just determined to join our fellow workers in Fresno.
Things get different here in Ashland with the Southern Pacific Railroad. This is the northernmost point of the Shasta Division. Things change here.
Why, what do you mean?
I've learned that you're doomed. The railroad police are going to kick you off the train. They are determined that there will be no train headed south with Wobblies on it.
No way.
Nobody can stop 100 Wobblies.
The railroad police can and will. Turn around. Go back. You're as good as off the train.
Well, Wobbly 27, what do we do now? The railroad police done kicked us off the train.
The train? It's left the station. Well, there's only one way now.
Why, what do you mean?
We're going to march to Fresno because nothing can stop us.
Wobbly 27, you are right. No turning back now. We can and will march up and over the Siskiyou Mountains.
Our solidarity and our bravery will prevail.
Are you with the Wobblies headed to Fresno to stand up for free speech?
Yes.
Oh, I'm so glad I found you. Here, this basket of apples are for you.
Thank you.
This is very kind.
Yes, thank you.
The townspeople have been talking. We heard about how the railroad police kicked all 102 of you off the train.
That's true.
What will you do now?
We're going to march to Fresno because nothing can stop us.
Not the railroad police, for sure.
Not that mountain.
Not even the deep, deep snow.
Well, we want to help. Ashlanders care so much about free speech. My neighbors are gathering enough apples and crackers for all of you.
Well, that is so kind.
Yes, thank you. Nothing can stop us. The power of solidarity is strong.
Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever. Solidarity. makes us strong.
The thing that's really interesting, I think, about the IWW walk through the Siskiyous was the fact that these men, who never revealed their names, in fact, walked through these mountains, not for themselves, but for the cause of labor solidarity, risked their lives with hypothermia, frostbite, even death in those mountains, all for the cause of labor.
You have been listening to Radio Theater. The Wobbly Walk Through the Siskiyous skit was recorded at KSKQ Studios in Ashland, Oregon. The song Walk On, Wobbly, Walk On was written and performed by Patrick Dodd. History professor Jay Mullen researched the Wobbly Walk, and you heard him speak about the importance of this event that took place a century ago. The skit's cast members are Vanessa Houck, the townswoman, Ralph Browning, the railroad conductor, and the two IWW members are Jason Houck, Wobbly 27, and Wobbly 78 was portrayed by Ivan Tolan. The skit writer and director is Wes Brain, and the producer of this program is Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice. A special thank you goes to Ashland, Oregon's KSKQ, who generously provided their studio and technical services. Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice is spearheading a campaign to create a Wobbly Free Speech Monument to be placed along the Wobbly's historic route to commemorate and immortalize these workers' virtuous trek 100 years ago. History forgets more heroes than it remembers. Those Wobblies warrant memory. To learn more about the Wobbly Free Speech Memorial Campaign, visit the Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice website at www.sojwj.org. Thank you for listening.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO in Portland. I'm your host, Kevin Card. I'm here with Wes Brain. Wes, that's a fine production you folks put together down there.
Thank you. It was so much fun. I just can't tell you. Yep.
And so let's talk a little bit what's coming up later here on KBOO. At 9 o'clock, we will hear the Old Mole Variety Hour. Today's topics include Daniel Randall talking about why the working class should be the backbone of the environmental movement. We'll examine how we view paid versus unpaid work. Mark Brenner talks about the recent Verizon strike. And Mark Schnedeker talks about the infamous Memphis 3 murder case. At 10 o'clock, Eric Cascadia and Locus Focus are off today. Instead, we'll hear some special Labor Day programming. We'll hear a talk by Robin Hanel, professor of economics at Portland State University, on participatory economics. At 11 o'clock, it's Health Watch with host Dr. David Naiman. Today, our guest is Siddhartha Mukherjee, winner of the 2011 Pulitzer Prize in nonfiction for his book, The Emperor of All Maladies, A Biography of Cancer. And at 11:30, we'll hear Madness Radio with Will Hall. Today's guest is suicide attempt survivor David Webb, author of Thinking About Suicide. So, Wes, the free speech movement was big 100 years ago. Why should it be big now?
We need it more than ever now. Kevin, this is the time. This is the time for organized labor to stand up. Some people say maybe we've lost our democracy. We are seeing our communities crumble with the horrible attacks from the corporations on working people. So some people are saying this is the time. Others are saying maybe it's too late, but this is the time now. We need to pay attention to what happened 100 years ago and the force we can generate when we all speak one word. That's why it's important, Kevin. Now is the time. If we're going to save this country and we're going to save our democracy, now is the time, Kevin.
Well, as an old friend of ours, Julius Margolin, would say, the labor movement needs to get more militant. And we've shrunk over the years. We're a shadow of what we used to be, but that doesn't mean we can't grow again.
Oh, boy.
What do you think it's going to take? I think, you know, hard times kind of can either divide people or bring them together. I'm hoping that these hard times we're in right now are going to bring folks together. And if you'd like to talk about that, you can give us a call at 503-231-8187. Unemployment in Oregon now sits at just over 9%. But if you look at the real numbers in this economy, we're looking at somewhere between 18 and 25% of Oregonians are actually out of work or under work or, you know, working two or three jobs with no health care, few benefits, no retirement. I know that here in Portland, I tend to talk to everybody, you know, whenever I go to and somebody's waiting on me or I'm in a checkout stand, I try to strike up a conversation, especially with a lot of young people, but actually people of all ages out there are struggling to make ends meet. If you're one of those folks and you want to talk about what you'd like to see happen in this country, give us a call at 503-231-8187. Wes, what else is going on down there in Southern Oregon? You know, you're from an area that once had a huge thriving timber industry, which has pretty much been shut down, you know, for some good reasons and some economic reasons. And how are the people down there handling this?
Well, you mentioned about Oregon and the unemployment rate, and it is devastating. Here in Southern Oregon, our numbers are a little higher than that 9%, don't know exactly, but we're in the neighborhood 10, 11, and 12% for the counties Jackson, Josephine, Klamath, and Douglas County. And then if you go right over the border, Siskiyou County in California, that's 14 miles from where I'm living right here, their unemployment rate's even higher. And so it is devastating. People are down and out. You know, people don't come out of the woodwork and all of a sudden appear, you know, I'm 3 months behind on my mortgage. And people are very embarrassed about that. And people, there is help for people to fight the foreclosures, by the way. But oftentimes people are silent and it's understandable, too, because people become embarrassed about such things. There is no reason at all, Kevin, to be embarrassed because corporations brought this on us. Most people were, many people were tricked, and it's about time we had corporations pay their fair share. I think if there's one thing, Kevin, that people are rallying around, it's that idea. We all know that corporations do not pay their fair share. When they talk about sharing the what do they talk about? Shared sacrifice? It's about time we shared that sacrifice. It's time for corporations to pay their fair share. I think we can rally around that, Kevin.
Well, we do need some leadership, and I think that the only way we're going to get leadership is to leadership comes from below and not from above.
Amen. And that's the movement we see happening here. You know, last February, I mentioned people when we were given when Jay Mullen was given the wobbly, his research, people raised their hand. They wanted to talk about Wisconsin. A spark was lit in Wisconsin in February, and it's been burning all summer. Ordinary working people get it, Kevin. They really, really do. And this is an exciting time. We can take back this country right now, and we do need the leadership. We do. But it's coming from the grassroots, and that's where it needs to come from, Kevin.
Well, today is Labor Day, and across Oregon there are going to be Labor Day celebrations here at Oaks Park in Portland. There is going to be probably 10,000 people show up for the annual Labor Day picnic. If you want to go down there, folks, and you've had to deal with the parking nightmare down there in the past, there's good news. If you go to the Inner East Side, you can park at the parking lot of the Portland Opera and actually catch a train. For $2, you can actually ride a train to Oaks Park. Recreate. You don't need to walk. You can ride the train. What do you have down there in Southern Oregon?
We have them around the state, but this Labor Day picnic today will take place in Southern Oregon. We may have some local listeners down here, too, on the Internet. At 11 o'clock, things kick off. It's going to be out at Tuvale State Park. That's on the Rogue River at Table Rock Road, just north of Medford. Things kick off at 11 o'clock, and we have a lineup. You talk about, my gosh, we got music. We got Patrick Dodd. He sang that song that we heard just a few minutes ago.
Patrick's great. Caught him at the Sisters of the Road this winter here in Portland.
Yeah. Patrick will be playing music. Nice. We have Tammy Marston and her daughter Sarah. They sing the old Joe Hill labor songs. And then we have Broadway Phil and the Shouters. And we're talking about wonderful blues. Now, here's a secret. Phil, wonderful blues, doesn't play the labor songs until this year. You hear it first now. Phil's been working on What Side Are You On? And his band is going to play a bluesy rendition of that song at Labor Day here. So we got
nice.
Wonderful music. We've got lots of local activists will be doing short speeches because we got a big blowout of food. Starts at noon.
And speaking of short speeches, we have a caller joining us here on KBO. Hey, Joanne, welcome to More Talk Radio.
Yeah, thanks for the program. I've been enjoying the history in that, and I like that song, Which Side Are You On, Boys, or whatever it is. But I would have liked to have learned this history and others like it in school, and I wish the same for my children and grandchildren. But I wanted to ask this. I know it's unfair to ask this, but you know, a lot of jobs have been going out of the country, a lot of people know, for a long time. And, you know, another thing, too, that's been happening for a long time, been putting a lot of our people, especially young people, into prison. And also, a lot of our people and young people are going into the military because there's no jobs, etc. And I guess it's too much to ask of labor because of their big problem they're facing with all these jobs going out, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought I'd put that out, and thank you very much for the program.
Well, thank you, Joanne, for joining us. And yeah, jobs leaving the country, world trade.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, way to bring up a touchy subject, especially here in Oregon where we have a number of congressmen who either sit on a fence or are overtly free traders.
Kevin, we're going to be hearing some jobs development stuff coming out of Washington, D.C. in the next week or so. Unfortunately, one of those jobs development programs is going to be called the Korean Free Trade Agreement. That's going to be pushed as something that's going to create jobs in this country. First off, it won't create jobs. It will. But we'll lose more jobs than it creates. And here's the bottom line, Kevin. The jobs that we create will pay less money. They will not be family living wage jobs. So we lose the good jobs that go overseas, and then the jobs we create through a Korean trade agreement will create lesser paying jobs in this country. That's the fact of it. It's going to be pushed as a jobs creation program. We got to get the word out. We got to kill this thing, Kevin.
Well, and it's a Democratic president who's saying that, too, that this is going to create jobs.
You're talking about the current president, because NAFTA was pushed by a Democratic president also, Kevin.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people feel a little bit betrayed here. I think there are a lot of people in the labor movement who are scratching their heads going, you know, we worked our keisters off in 2008, and what do we end up with? Another Democratic Leadership Council corporate president.
Unfortunately, that's what we're all seeing. That president said one thing, Kevin, that did make me excited, and we need the country to rise up now. You know what he said? Way back when he said, make me do it. And I said, okay, now's our time, and we haven't made him do it yet. It is time for the working class to band together and make him do it.
And what do you think is going to bind us together, Wes? What's going to get the working class to actually do that thing and get up off their keisters and rise up together?
Kevin, it's happening. You wouldn't notice it by reading the Oregonian, the Medford Mail Tribune, or listen to the mainstream media. It's happening through our other means of communicating. It's happening by people talking to each other and using our internet. The spark has been lit. It really, really has. Don't believe what they tell us in the paper, because we do have a movement that is growing. People get it. What side are you on? You're either on the side of ordinary working people, or you're on the side of corporations that are absolutely killing this country. What side are you on? Kevin, I think it's happening. We need to jump on the billows, make this fire grow, and take back our country. We can do it.
That's an interesting thing. That it actually is our country. And I believe we have another caller on the line. Nope. If you want to call, you can call 503-231-8187 and let your voice be heard. Let us know what you think about this economy and where you think we should go. The history of the IWW, who the Wobblies you were speaking of, I know for labor activists, for the hardcore labor activists, these folks seem to be the ones who got it way back when. I want to tell you a great story. I went down. Portland has a great venue, the Red and Black Cafe.
Yes.
A worker-owned cooperative coffee house. And so I went and caught one of our local labor bands. Jim Cook's General Strike Band was down there last week. And I'll tell you, Wes, it was very heartening to see a room full of people who were definitely half my age or less, and they were singing along. They all brought their little red books out, and they were singing along. And they actually took some of those songs and wrote their own words to them and performed them after that. It was pretty awesome. So I think there is a opportunity here for especially younger folks. If you look what happened in Portland over the last year, earlier this year, a bunch of workers at, of all things, a salon, the Dosha Salon, decided that they'd had enough of the way that they were being treated by their managers and by the owner of the company. And they approached a union, they approached the communication workers, and actually put together a fight to organize a union, and they won. They had an election, and over 50% voted for it. Just this week on August 30th, there was a union day at the salon in which people called up and, you know, went in. Imagine that, getting a union massage. Only here in Oregon you can get a union massage, right? Or get your nails done by a union member. Go figure. So I think there is hope. I think there is hope, especially among the younger folks. I think that a tough economy can divide us, or it can bring us together.
Absolutely. You know, that's exciting. We did three concerts with our Wobbly Walk campaign in Ashland, Eugene, and Portland, and joined you, and you mentioned Jim Cook and other folks there in Portland up at the Sisters of the Road Cafe. But what stood out at that concert, and it wasn't a huge attendance or anything else, but who was there? With some of the same people you're talking about, some young IWW folks in Portland, Oregon. They didn't need the red books, is what I remember. They knew all the songs, Kevin. Absolutely amazing, and hats off to them. We want to do that down here too, Kevin. We want to organize in Southern Oregon. There's some young people interested in that down here.
Well, you know, one thing that was great about this music, they have music for the working class down at the Red Black every last Wednesday of the month. And you get a dollar off your beverage for being a union member or for being a service worker, somebody who, you know, has your food handling card. And it's pretty awesome to see these young kids coming together. Young kids, I call them, right? They're in their 20s and 30s. But it's pretty awesome to see that.
Fantastic. Yep, that's our future.
And later on here on KBOO at 9 o'clock, coming up, we'll hear the Old Mole Variety Hour. Today's topics include Daniel Randall tells us why the working class should be the backbone of the environmental movement. And don't we know that? Talk about free speech. Over 1,100 people arrested on the White House grounds for trying to block the tar sands pipeline. Talk about that. We'll examine how we view paid versus unpaid work. Mark Brenner, and I think this is the same Mark Brenner from Labor Notes, okay, talks about the recent Verizon strike, and Mark Schnedeker talks about the infamous Memphis 3 murder case. Then at 10 o'clock, Air Cascadia and Locust Focus are off today. Instead, we'll hear some special Labor Day programming. We'll hear a talk by Robin Hanel, professor of economics at Portland State University, on participatory economics. At 11 o'clock, it's Health Watch with host Dr. David Naiman. Today, our guest is Siddhartha Mukherjee, winner of the 2011 Pulitzer Prize in nonfiction for his book, The Emperor of All Melodies, A Biography of Cancer. And at 11:30, we'll hear Madness Radio with host Will Hall. Today's guest is suicide attempt survivor David Webb, author of Thinking About Suicide. That's all on KBLO Community Radio, your community soapbox here in Portland, Oregon. This is your host, Kevin Card. I'm on the phone with Wes Brain down in Southern Oregon. We're talking about, all manner of things relating to this special holiday, Labor Day. If you're interested, folks, in what the labor movement can do for you, and if you have some free time today, go down to here in Portland, go down to Oaks Park, and just across the bridge where that little, or across the tracks where that little train, you will see all manner of activists and union activists standing there waiting to talk to you to help you out in your workplace. And that starts at 10 o'clock and goes till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And there will actually be a good number of those politicians, a lot of those who favor that Korean free trade stuff will be down there, and you'll have an opportunity to buttonhole them on it. So, Wes, Jobs with Justice is the preeminent, in my opinion, activist group in the labor movement today. How did you get that going down in Southern Oregon? What did it take to put that together?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a few Jim Cooks in the world, and you know one of them. We've been talking about your buddy, the letter carrier. Yeah. Another Jim Cook used to be with my union, SEIU.
Are you talking about the Jim Cook that lives in Mexico now?
That's the man. Jim Cook, I was on his as a member activist with SEIU. I worked at Southern Oregon University for years, so I was on his list. He worked with the Mid-Willamette Jobs with Justice. And, you know, I was on his list for a long time. And so I went to Jim Alexander. He's the president of our Central Labor Council down here, postal worker. And I said, Jim, we need a JWJ down here. And he says, Wes, it sounds good, but who's going to do it? How are we going to do it? And so the next year I went back and asked him again. We formed a committee to explore it. And at the time, Bend, Oregon, was Deschutes County, was our newest JWJ coalition in the state. We looked at what they did. We followed the same path. Boy, it's a good path. And we became a coalition just 4 years ago. Portland, JWJ, 20 years old now, is the leader in this state. And our coalitions all work together really, really well. I'll tell you what I like about our coalitions more than anything else, Kevin. We are like one big union. We have a big tent way of organizing. We are community organizations working with organized labor, working with people of faith, and working with students. That's how you build a movement. That's how you change your community. And Kevin, doesn't that sound like one big union?
Well, speaking of building a movement, I believe we have a caller on the line. Julie, welcome to More Talk Radio.
Thank you. Two things I was thinking about. One is teachers. Teachers are probably one of the biggest unions probably in the country. And even with that, education is kind of going downhill. But I think the teachers' union is doing their very best to try to keep some kind of semblance of rationality still in the public education sector. So that's one thought. And the other thought that I wanted to bring to the table was you were talking about somebody saying to the president, you know, or the president saying to people, make me do the right thing. And I was thinking that, you know, do you want a president that doesn't know what the right thing is? Do you want a president that says, I'm not going to take the lead until somebody else shows me what it is? Or
Julie, have you been disappointed in what you see coming out of this administration?
I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Do you think that would prevent you from voting for him in the next election?
That's a good question. I'm just kind of scared of, I have to say this, with this two-party system, it doesn't leave us much choice.
That's right. Well, a lot of people believe that way. So,
I'm one that voted for the third party candidate, and when we got George Bush the first time, so I'm not sure.
Well, were you here in Oregon or were you in Florida?
I'm here.
Okay, that's what I meant. Well, you know, this is a tough issue for working class folks, right?
Yeah.
For years, we have looked to one party as being our benefactors, and for years, we have just seen our numbers dwindle and dwindle and dwindle. And I think that recent developments you see coming out of the firefighters, Rich Trumka of the AFL-CIO came out and said recently that, you know, you can no longer take us for granted.
Yep.
That we are going to do it. But I think in the winner-takes-all environment, it really puts us in a bad spot.
You know, I was just thinking about it. Like Canada has these different kinds of a lot of countries have it where you get the proportion of the votes that you get.
And right.
Every party can be represented by the percentage of votes they get. And it seems that there's a lot easier way of entering the political discussion that way.
Well, you know, it's funny. We went to a big rally earlier this year up at the Canadian border at the International Peace Park. And it was right after the Wisconsin thing happened. I think it was about the first week of March or April we went up there. And it was very interesting. I actually went up there and talked to a lot of the Canadian labor leaders and whatnot and asked them about what's going on. And Canada enjoys about 35% or 30 to 35% unionization of their workforce, which is just about where we hit a peak back in the 1950s here in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it, I believe, has to do with the fact that they do have a voice,
yeah.
that they have someone speaking up for them.
Yeah.
But they also have other things, you know. I mean, one thing that we've struggled with in this country is the lack of of ability for some of our workers to compete because of this ridiculous healthcare system we have in America. Whereas, you know, the last question I asked all these Canadian workers was, well, what do you think of your healthcare system? And every single one of them stood up and said, we wouldn't trade it for anything. If anything, it's underfunded. You know, we would believe in paying – imagine that. We believe in paying more taxes to have better healthcare. Well, Julie, you have a great Labor Day.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing all of that up and for being who you are.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
So, Wes, you have to hit the road and put on a concert today, huh?
We've got the big blast going on down here at Labor Day Picnic, and absolutely, we're going to have some fun on this end of the state. And you guys are up there, too, Kevin.
One more time, how can people find out more about your monument to the Wobbly Free Speech Movement and possibly get involved in what's happening in Southern Oregon?
If this caught your attention, learning about the Wobbly Free Speech Monument campaign, get a hold of Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice. Go to our website, www.sojwj.org. Become dosed in what this is about. Learn about this history 100 years ago. We need that history today. Let's teach our kids about this in schools. Let's make this happen. Let's bring this country back around. That's why we're doing this campaign. So come learn more about it.
Well, thank you, Wes Brain, for joining us tonight from Southern Oregon, or this morning, excuse me. I'd like to thank a couple other folks. I'd like to thank my engineer, Steve Nasser, and Sky the Radio Dog. It's always nice to walk in and have a friendly dog, you know, wagging her tail, looking at you. I'd also like to give a shout-out. You know, KBOO was very dark when I walked in this morning. Here's Steve there. And sure enough, you know, I'm here for about 15 minutes, and Bruce Silverman comes walking in, who is, you know, the creme de la creme of KBOO volunteers, a guy who keeps his station going. Listen, fellow workers, enjoy your Labor Day celebrations, especially UHFC, and we will see you next week here on More Talk Radio.